Well, take your Bibles, if you will, please. Turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, we went through that a little bit a couple weeks ago, and we were just not going to do the whole thing. I'm going to do just a portion of it today. And we've been talking about the curses, and I'm taking a couple weeks here, actually, probably finish up next week. I want to talk about the blessings, and I want you to really think about the blessings. I want you to make so hungry for the blessings. I want you to starve for the blessings. I want you to get to the point where you thirst after the Lord to have his blessing. That's what he's talking about in those passages. As a heart panteth for the water, so my heart longeth, my soul longeth after the Lord. And we need to get into a place where we just have a hunger. You know, there's some things in our lives that we say, oh, I just got to have. I won't let anything stand in the way. I'm going to have it. And usually it's something that's not good for us. But the things of God, we need to get to the point where we just say, I've just got to have him. I'm not going to let anything stand in my way of having him. In fact, there's certain portions of the Bible where it basically says, you know what, I might as well die if I'm not going to have him. I want him. I've got to have him in my life. And that's a good thing. My grandfather used to say, moderation in everything. This is back before he was saved. But moderation in everything, including church. You don't get too much of that stuff there. No, you can't. You can get too full of rituals. You can get too full of fluff. You can get too full of all the stuff sometimes that people put in the church. But you can't get too much God. You just can't. You just can't. Let me read a couple of verses for you. Look at verse number 12, if you will. Psalm 33, verse number 12. It says, blessed is the nation. That means any people, Gentile people, heathen nation, anyone, not necessarily Jews, anybody. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The God is your provider, your protection, your guiding, your guider, your guidance, your philosophy in life, your God. Who is your God? Who's the one that controls your life? Who is your go-to? Who you lean on? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah. Not whose God is some other, is government, or God is some kind of other God, or God is Allah, or God is this. God is the Lord, Jehovah. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So God can make the blessings happen. The Lord can supersede the curse that we've been talking about, and run interference for us and protect us from the evil one and the evil of this world. And, of course, the curse is what was established way back when Adam and Eve sinned. God cursed the world. And the world is cursed. It's constantly cursed. Just like you say, the storms are always there. The storms are we're all living amongst the storm. Whether the storm bothers us or hurts us is our choice whether we want to choose life and choose him or whether we want to try to do it all on our own. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Watch. And the people, the individuals, the ones that sit in the pew, the ones within the houses, the individual people, and bless the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. In other words, the rest of the world are on their own to fight the curse. But God has, if you've got a deal going on with him, this is part of the inheritance, this is part of the deal with being having him as your God. Verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. So there will be battles for everyone, and we can fight the battles on our own, or we can have the Lord fight our battles. Just stay right where you are. 2 Chronicles 32:8 says this. This was the king Hezekiah, and he had an army coming at him, and it was a big army, bigger than they were. But he said this, with them is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. When you're in the world, you're going to have to fight battles. The world's fighting. Listen, the old devil's fighting everybody. But are you going to have? Are you trying to fight your battles on your own? Or are you going to let the Lord fight your battles? And you go back and read that in 2 Chronicles 32. Pretty good story right there. 1 Samuel 17 is verse 46. He's talking about David and Goliath. Almost everybody knows about David and Goliath. And here's little David. He's looking up at Goliath. And Goliath has basically, made everybody else scared in the Israeli army. And David says this to old Goliath, this day will the Lord deliver thee, Mr. Goliath, into mine hand, and I will smite thee. He's going to do a Will Smith on me. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all of this assembly shall know that the Lord, Jehovah, capital O, capital O-R-D, saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I don't know how it's going to work, but you're toast before we ever get started. Verse 16. Now, Psalm 33, verse 16 says this. There's no king save by the multitude of a host. In other words, by the size of his army or the size of his soldier. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. In other words, watch this. Tanks and planes, they really don't mean much unless you are in, you are a nation that fears the Lord. But watch this. You get one nation that does not fear the Lord and another nation that does not fear the Lord, and they fight each other, probably the strongest one will win. Probably so. But if you're in a nation, if you're in a nation that does fear the Lord, and there's a nation that does not fear the Lord, and you are maybe small, and the ones who don't fear the Lord may be mighty, they've got a battle on their hands, because they're not just fighting against this small little nation, they're fighting against God. You see what I'm saying? What are you, kind of so superstitious? You still believe in gods? Yep. No. One. Now, look at verse 18. Behold, he says, look at this. Look, that's what behold means. Now look at me now. Look at this. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. If you fear God, you're trying to find, you want to, and by the way, if you can't say you fear God if you're not obeying God. You can't say you fear your pot and your mom and dad if you don't obey them. Right? You can't say you fear the teacher if you don't obey the teacher. You can't say you fear the principal if you don't obey him. You can't say you fear God unless you obey him. So you're hearkening diligently. We'll get to that in Deuteronomy here for a bit, but hearkening diligently to the word of God so you may observe to do according to what's written therein. He says, those that fear him and hope in his mercy. Just like I said before, my soul panteth after him. He's my shelter. That's the one I need. He says, God's got his eye on people who do that. Look what it says. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, verse 19, to deliver their soul from death. He says, they're trusting in me. I got to help. I got to take care of them. I mean, they literally are trusting in me to take care of them. So I guess I'm going to have to take care of them. You know what? You've got kids, and they're literally expecting you to put food on the table. And they're literally expecting you to protect them if somebody threatens them. And so if you've got any kind of integrity or love for those kids at all, your own, on your own, you can say, well, you know what? They're trusting me. I better take care of them because they're going out and do something foolish because they need me to take care of them because they're trusting me to take care of them. So I guess I better. Now, I know God is not, I'm kind of humanizing God there. But God will take care of you if you trust him. So what happens? Verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. I'm waiting on him. What's it going to do? I don't know, but it's in his hands. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, and he is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because he hath trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to talk about this morning living among the blessings in our personal lives. Living among the blessings in our personal lives. You know, we talk about this, blesses the nation, and that's true, but and the people. We will talk about here in a minute, but there are evidences in the Bible where though everybody else has fallen apart, everybody's in the storm, and God spares the one who trusted in him. They're in the famine, but God spares the one who trusted in him. We individually need to choose the blessings. Well, what good is me choosing a blessing and the rest of the nation is going down the tubes? Well, the rest of the nation may go down the tubes, but you personally do not have to. I'm not saying it's not going to be more storms. It may be more storms, but more storms aren't harder for God. He can still work on your behalf. If all the world forsakes him, you don't have to. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises. Lord, I want to convey some wonderful truths here this morning. It will also give us a little reprimand on a few things as well. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see truth so that we may do what's right and find your blessings in our life. And maybe we've been running away from the blessing for many years, and maybe we're going to see evidences of having lost the blessing and having had to experience the curses. And we're going to see some curses that maybe we had to, that we've endured, but that we didn't really have to endure, but was we, you know, didn't know. But now we know. And Lord, we can start here. And Lord, it may be, maybe you may even give back the years the locusts ate. So Lord, I pray that you give us your wisdom. You can't do anything but be better than to finish out well, even if we didn't start well. We need to trust you. So Lord, give us your wisdom. Speak to our hearts. Give each of us exactly what we need in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we've spent several weeks discussing the curse and how far it can reach into our daily lives, disrupt our lives and ruin things and relationships and so forth. But we also want to see how far it can reach into our daily lives when we decide to diligently hearken to the Word of God and observe to do it. We've seen what it's like when we don't diligently hearken to His Word and then we don't do it. But we'll see what would happen if we could. Now, when we say this, and we'll dwell on this a little bit more in a moment, but let me just say this. Simply being neutral about our faith in the Lord and neutral in our determination to obey the Word of God still leaves us in the wake of the curse and vulnerable to all the thorns and the snares of this world. And we're going to read it here, but it says, in fact, you can go ahead and get there too, and get there. In Deuteronomy 28, that's where we're going to spend our time today. Deuteronomy 28, 18. This is going to sound almost identical to Psalm 33. He says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." Psalm 33, 18 says the same thing. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." If we go to Deuteronomy and do verse number one, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And when all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now, I know you're recognizing this, but I'm going to make sure we get this in our mind and remember that there is a sequence of events here. There is a pattern to follow. There is a system that God has put in place. Each of us can choose to do his commandments, which he's commanded us, and enjoy life and have a grateful, joyful heart and praising spirit. But each of us can choose against it. In fact, some of us can just simply choose not to be for it or against it. And we think that's a safe place to be. But you can't be neutral and be hearkening diligently. You've heard me, I don't know how many hundreds of times you've heard me quote Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. By choice, he chooses not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he chooses to think on the word of God day and night to make that his thoughts. Now, when you do make those choices, what are you saying? You're putting your place where you're fearing God rather than the world. And he says, and you shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the next verse says, but the ungodly are not so. In other words, those who don't care what God says, don't care whether they're obeying God, don't care if they're walking with God, they don't care if they have a relationship with God or not. The ungodly are not so, but are as the chaff that gets blown away in the wind. In other words, the curse just has their way with them. Now, I mentioned this verse last week. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect or mature, is desiring toward him. That's what we want. But that's a choice. So last week, I'm going to give you these first two points from last week. The Lord has a plan for us so we can be blessed and live a relatively stress-free life. The Lord has a plan for us so we can live a relatively stress-free life, live in his blessing. What is that? Hearken diligently to the word of his word, so that you may observe to do according to what it's written. That's what he said. And these blessings will show up. And remember the word blessed there means. It means to kneel in adoration. This is God humbling himself before man because he adores us, to serve us in this way, to care for us this way. Not that we deserve it, but God loves you with an everlasting love. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should have eternal life. But all should come to repentance. So God has a plan. The thing is, most of us don't care about the plan. The plan is hearken diligently, so you may observe to do. That's the plan. It's not complicated. But some of us don't want to be told what to do. There were some times when I was a kid, my mom and dad had a plan for me. You do this and do this and do this, and we're going to have a good time to do. And you don't do this, or you don't do this, well then forget it. There's a plan. Oh, Mom, I don't want to, you know, why can't we just do that? You got the plan. That could have hurt you to obey and do what I ask you to do. And God says, he says, the law they gave us were for our good. And so we're supposed to obey for our good, and then on top of it, he blesses us. So second last week, we learned that the Lord will bless us. We're going through the list here in Deuteronomy, from chapter Deuteronomy 28 through verse 1. We got into the verse number 3, and it said this, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. The Lord will bless us wherever we are, if we are hearkening diligently to the word of God to observe to do according to what's written therein. Doesn't matter where you are. So, well, I can't be blessed over here because I'm in the midst of this problem. No, God can bless you there. You individually. He can bless you individually. Well, I grew up in a family that's just a mess, and you may have problems, but God can bless you individually. Well, I'm married to the meanest man in town. How am I supposed to be blessed? I'll tell you what, you hearken diligently down the road. May take a little time, but the fact is, you're going to be blessed above what you would have normally been blessed. I'll guarantee you, it's still going to be better with the Lord than without the Lord. Wherever you are, whether you're someplace where you're getting, it says in the city, and they give the idea that you've got people around you and a watchman and you're going to be protected, or you're out in the middle of nowhere in the field when the storm comes, you're going to be blessed. The devil in the world cannot hide us from the Lord and his blessings. You cannot go beyond the boundaries of the Lord's blessings. As long as you're in his will and obeying his word, you're doing what he is going to do, he's going to bless you. Let me give you a new one here. This is number 3. I'm going to give you a basic statement, then we're going to divide it up in a couple of persons. We're going to spend a whole lot of time on the first one. You will be more productive in whatever you pursue, assuming that what you're pursuing is within the acceptable will of God. Okay? Assuming, in other words, you're not going to, God's not going to bless you in your tax evasion. Boy, he's good at that. Boy, I tell you what, he's not going to make you a really good bank robber. Okay? You're doing what God wants. What you're doing is within the acceptable will of God. God will help you reach your pursuits. Remember what it said there in Psalm 1? It says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. It's right there over and over again. And so in verse 4, it says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of the sheep. You will be more productive if you will just do things God's way. There's way too many people say, God gets in the way. If I didn't have to obey him, I could do thus and so and thus and so and this so. I know I could get ahead. I know I could make an extra $10,000 this year. But you know, you go to church, you're not supposed to do this. And there it goes. The Lord will be doing that which is best for you when we're hearkening diligently to the word of God, that we may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Now, look at verse 4, first part. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Now, you can use this as a general statement to say whatever your body is producing. You know, you work hard and you produce, and whatever, God's going to let your body be in good shape enough that you can produce some things that are through your body. But I personally think that what it's really talking about is talking about your kids. What your body has produced, the fruit of your body. Now, if you will hearken diligently unto the word of the Lord, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, your kids are going to have a better start. Your kids are going to have a better start in life. I think it's less likely that your kids will go bad. Now, I understand that, you know, it's still their choice. You know, Cain and Abel both had the same parents. They grew up in the same house. It wasn't the kids next door. It wasn't the public school. But one of them was a murderer and one was considered a prophet. And the one with the murder killed his brother, the prophet. But it wasn't the school, it wasn't the kids, it wasn't a TV show, it wasn't the bad video games that made the difference. They made a choice. I understand that. However, there's a whole lot less chance that that's going to go bad when we are doing what God has asked us to do. And God will bless you, and you're going to see it in your kids. Some folks think they're going to drive their kids away from God if they require them to participate in church and in learning the Word of God. They really do. Well, you know, you're pushing, you're going to drive them away. Drive them away from what? They're not even there. You know, how do you drive them away from somebody they don't know? So you're driving them away? Well, I'm not going to take them to all these ball games. I'm just going to drive them away from the ball game. They're not going to want to go to the ball game. I'm not going to take them down to the ice cream store every Sunday after because this is going to drive them away from the ice cream store. Oh, we'll taste and see that the Lord is good. This is why I'm not being a little facetious here, but to know God is a love God. And you get them, you help them get to know God. Listen, the only way you're going to drive your kids away from God is when you drive them to the ball game on Sunday instead of church. Then you're driving away from God. Or you are driving them to church, and then you drop them off and you go do what you want. You expect them to have church, but you're going to do what you want. You don't have to. That's not the way God's design is. But, you know, some people say, well, forcing my kids to participate in church, you know, that's just going to drive them away. Only, probably if you fail to do so. Listen, you know what? There are people, I'm going to pick on, there are people who are actually Cowboy fans. Brian's a Cowboy fan. I am. Can you imagine? And when you were growing, when you were raising your boys, were they Cowboy fans? Then they got away from the Lord, and they went wayward. That's right. But they were for a little bit. Yeah, they were. Listen. You know, if you're happy in Jesus, they're going to be happy in Jesus. Watch this. If this is true, and I believe it is, if we will hearken diligently to His Word, He will bless us. You get a kid who are growing up in a family where they have seen the blessing of God. Well, I don't know how to get God to do that. There's the plan. Hearken diligent to His Word so you can observe to do it. So if you do that, God holds His promise and the kids start seeing the Lord bless. How many times were you all short on funds because the Lord provided your needs as missionaries? Can you even count? He still is. I know what He makes. He still is. And you learn to live that way. And your girls have watched. They didn't run away from God. They did not run away from God. In fact, if you watch them, they tend to run to Him. If you think forcing your child to go to church and hear the Word of God taught and then talking about the Lord and the Scripture all the time around the house is a bad thing, then what you're saying is that God is wrong and doesn't know what He's talking about. Listen, kids can't make it. You say, well, I'm just going to let my kids make their own, grow up and make their own choice. They cannot make a good choice unless they know what their options are. Some people think that all their choice for God is rituals and don't do this and don't do that. And the parents will walk around, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. Why? Because that's what the preacher said. You know, this is what I got to do. And that's not living for God. I'll tell you what God, this is what God said. Ready? Deuteronomy 6 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And here He's talking to the parents. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." God is your everything. Oh, if you want to be a fanatic. Well, there's only one woman in all the world that I'm going to be married to and be intimate with. So does that make me a fanatic? Does it? No, it makes me faithful. Verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," parents. Your heart. It's got to be real in you. We can talk big and talk big and talk big, but when things get tough, we get scared and go the other direction. We get scared and work out something else, go then find, look for another solution. Is God true or is He not? Let God be true and every man a liar. And then it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Teach them diligently. Watch. "And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." So you're sitting around the house, and your kid says something. I say, "Well, but you know, Proverbs says, you know what the Lord says? Well, you know what the Bible says." "Oh, Mom, come on. When thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest by the way, in Walmart, at the ball game, and when thou liest down, man, I can't even go to sleep without you talking about God. When thou risest up, man, give us a break. Let's let me get some breakfast before you start talking about God. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Get up and get the kids up in the morning like that. Oh, Mom, come on, give me a break. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And thou shalt be frontless between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house. And the kids, man, got written all over the house. And you can't even turn around. Here's this Bible verse. Give me a break. I can tell you that there's been many a person that had gone off away from the Lord. They were no longer supporting the Cowboys. And they got down to bad section, bad place in life. And they came back. And the thing is, the Lord brings back those verses to their remembrance. You know, he promises that in John. He promises, I'll guide you in all truth and bring it to your remembrance. He promises that. When I was a kid, I remember memorizing verses. And you know, you're a little kid and you memorize all my by the syllables. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- little older and started really trying to figure this out, all of a sudden that verse would come back to my mind and I thought, that's what that says. I get it. And all of a sudden this all starts to come back because we've hidden the word in our heart and God brings it back. He said, well, no, I'm just going to let them go where they want to go, and they can decide that, make a decision later in life. By that time, they're so far down the road, the wrong road, it'd be very hard to come back to the right road. Some folks think they're hurting their kids when they bring them up in the church in the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, Proverbs 22, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. For the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. We need to give them the word of God. Some folks think they walk this fine line with their kids, and they're afraid to discipline their children, thinking they're going to run them off. And parents, and listen, but the Bible says that a child left to themselves brings their mother to shame. Left to themselves, neutral. One of the preachers this past week mentioned that just in passing. You know, when you have the car and drive, you have the car and drive, you're moving forward. And you throw the car in reverse, well, then you're going backwards. I don't want to go in reverse. I don't want to back up from God. But I'm really not sure I want to do it that way. I'll just stay in neutral. And we think that's safe. Has anyone ever here ever been, it's over toward Johnstown someplace called Gravity Hill. Anybody here of Gravity Hill? A couple people. There's this funny little spot way out in the country, out in the woods. And when the kids were little, we didn't have a whole lot of money for a vacation, so we'd figure out stuff we would do. We took a day trip over to Johnstown and looked at the flood thing, filled the museum, and went out to Gravity Hill. And Gravity Hill is a spot out in the woods where it says you go out here and you take your car, you put it in neutral, and it looks like it drifts uphill. That's what it looks like. Now, I took a level with me, and I put the level on the road, and the road actually is going downhill. It's an optical illusion because the way the little hills are out there, it looks like the road is going up, but it's really going down. But you just put that in neutral and you drift. There's an awful lot of people who live their spiritual life in neutral, and they think that's the safest place to be. My granddad used to say, moderation in all things, even religion. You can't have too much Jesus, but you can't have too much religion. But there's an awful lot of folks that are living life in neutral. What happens is you get a big storm comes along and it starts blowing you around. You listen, some of these storms have been going down through the South here. If you're in a car and you put it in neutral, it would blow you here and there and yon. You'll be tossed about by every wind of doctrine because you don't know the truth and a solid foundation. And there's way too many people who are trying to live in neutral. And some of you don't believe that, and so you think you're being neutral concerning the things of God. But what that leaves us with is the curse of the world's wisdom in raising your children, and then we wonder why later that it didn't work out as well as we thought it would. That is because we did it the world's way rather than the Lord's way. And so you're raising your children by yourself without the supernatural hand of God's blessing helping you. Refused to obey the Lord's command, so you were on your own. And if you're neutral towards God, you would expect God to be neutral toward you. How are we going to get under the blessings? By hearkening diligently so that we may observe to do that's on purpose. Neutral says, I'll listen to it, and maybe I'll do some of it, maybe I won't. That's not hearkening diligently. That's in neutral. That leaves us under the curse, not under the blessing. Let me give you another one. Number four. When we are blessed because we've hearkened diligently to the word of God, business goes better. I believe that. Business goes better. It says, second, it says, blessed be the fruit of thy body. And then it says, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. That's their business. It's going to work well. Business will stay good even in the hard times. Psalm 1 says, he'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why does it care? What do you mean a tree planted by water, rivers of water? In fact, there's a passage in Jeremiah that's almost the same. And when it explains, it says, it'll be by a tree like the rivers of water that won't notice when the famine comes. In other words, everybody else is falling around. He says, there's a famine out. It is. Really? I don't know. I got a good crop. We're having trouble with that. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm doing all right. I'm having a good crop. He says he's going to bless what we do in an abnormal way. And I think a lot of folks are missing out on the blessings. Put the Lord first in your life and give him the benefit of the doubt. And he'll take care of us. Even in the famine. Listen. When Elijah said it wasn't going to rain for 3 years, and it didn't, it was a famine in the land. What about him? Well, God provided for him. He was fed by the ravens and there was water by the brook, and so he was fine. Well, what happened when that all dried up? He says, well, go see this widow lady. What has she got? Nothing. But go see her. So he goes to her and said, I need you to make a cake for me first. And she said, well, I only have this one. I was going to make it for my son and I, and we were going to cook it and eat and figure that was it. Well, we're dead. He said, well, make me one first. And so she did. She obeyed God. And what happened? It didn't run out. Everybody else is having a famine. Not the widow's house. In fact, she's got house guests. She's taking care of them too. And the word widow means destitute. Of all people who's not going to, I mean, of all people, she's certainly not going to have what she needs. But she did. Why did it go better? She trusted the Lord. She obeyed what she knew to obey. Let me say that. She obeyed what she knew to obey. Getting to heaven is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the trip from here to heaven is only going to be as enjoyable as you obey the Father. They say, well, I don't know everything, or I'm going to miss something. He'll let you know that part. I'm serious. Obey what you know to obey. He knows. You don't hold a five-year-old to task because they don't know algebra. They need to learn to put their shoes and socks on. And so you hold them to that. God knows what we know, what we don't know. Have a heart after God. And we'll find more as we go along. Watch this. Kind of going along with that. Look, number five, our cabinets will not be bare. I was thinking this morning. Remember the old saying, old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone. But when she got there, there was none. There was what? The cupboard was bare, and little poor dog had none. Yeah. That shouldn't happen. Look what it says here. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Again, remember Elijah and the widow. She obeyed the Lord, and the Lord provided for her through the famine. You know the problem we've been having with going to the store and not being able to find what we need because the shelves are empty? Yeah, that doesn't happen to a nation who's being blessed by God. Just telling you. Dennis Livingston back here said he has a friend of his that they're trying to build a house and they can't get what they're supposed to have. It's not out there. And I'm in the process of building a house. And the fact is, I got a call. We thought we had it all worked out. Because that particular land has a requirement. You got to have some brick on the house. And so we were looking for the brick. We thought it all lined up. And then I got this call. Can't get it. They're not going to make it. It's done. We don't know. It might be several months before they get any more of this. What am I going to do? I don't know. So we called around and called around and called around. Literally, I called Glengarry up here and then called their main office and I called some other places and the place over in Lancaster, all those places. He said, we just can't get that kind of brick. I'm looking. You know what I want? A red brick. A normal red brick. He said, I can't get it. So we prayed about it. And we looked around. And God found some up here on York Road, about a mile and a half from the church. No, not more than that. It's about 4 or 5 miles up the road here, but it's on the other side of Rossville Road. But there's a place up there. And they're gonna give, and we found the brick. Took care of us. It was amazing. When I was a kid, I played guitar since I was like fifth grade. And my first guitar came off my father's brother's attic. And the tuning peg was busted off, and so my dad didn't know what to do. But he was good with brazing, you know, using brass and putting brazing things together. It's kind of like welding. And he created new tuning pegs for my guitar, and sounded like a cardboard box, but I had a good time with it. And they bought me another one, and it was a mess. It was awful, but they were very generous, and they bought me a brand new Gibson ES-325 electric guitar. I don't know if you know anything about guitars. It was pretty decent, not the best you could. A 325 was stereo, but this is a 335, but a 325 was really good. And it was a walnut finish. And I played in the jazz ensemble at the school, and I'm just saying. Anyway, it was really a nice guitar. And at one time I forget what I did. I did something and I kind of broke the latch on it, so it kind of flopped around on the case. But the guitar was good. Well, I had it in the school music room. And sometime during the day when I was in there, somebody got it out, turned it over, and took a screwdriver and went like this, across the back of my guitar. I mean, just great big old deep gash in there. I mean, it still played, and you really couldn't see it when I played it, but, you know, just to be mean. Well, it was probably a couple of months later, somebody went in and stole the whole guitar. Just stole the whole guitar, walked out with it. And we looked around, we tried to do some searching and so forth and so on. To be honest with you, I've always saw the same guitar, but it had like what they call a sunburst finish. And so it kind of has the blonde and the red, and it was kind of wild looking. And I was pretty conservative even then. I like this walnut finish. It was a dark walnut finish. That's what I liked on it. But I'd never seen one like it. And so it was gone. So we called the police, and they weren't going to find it. And so we turned it into the insurance company. Meantime, I was always watching the newspaper at the Baltimore newspaper, Baltimore Sun, and they would always have a listing of things like that for sale. And I had never seen one like that in there. I was always looking how you are. You can't buy a car, but you look at it, the ones in the classified anyway, just to see what's for sale. You know, I would do that with guitars. About a month and a half later, after the guitar was stolen, one shows up in the paper and was in Reisterstown, which is just far enough out of town that, you know, you're kind of toward Baltimore, and it was a ES-325 walnut finish, and I thought, oh, my soul, somebody's trying to sell my guitar. And I said, Dad, would you go down with me and help? I don't know what we're going to get into. I mean, if they steal a guitar, who knows what they would do. So I gave the guy a call up and said, yeah, we should. And so he had it, so we went down to look at it. It turned out it wasn't my guitar. It was just like it, identical, without the scratches on the back. Had a nice hard shell case, which I just had a cardboard case with the broken latch on it. A hard shell case, nice, beautiful, all fuzzy on the inside, you know, the whole thing. And they wanted $400 for it. And the insurance gave us $395. So for $5, I got a guitar without the scratch and a better case. Now, you know what my first thought was? Lord sure is good to me. I really did. The storm came, but the Lord blessed me anyway. Because I've been trying to do what the Lord wanted me to do, much as a kid knew. I'm not perfect. I've confessed my sins every day like everybody else does. I'm just saying, I truly believe with all my heart that this promise the Lord gives us is true. I glory in my tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, but patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I'm not ashamed to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we were out going to seminary, lost my job, didn't know what we were going to do. We were going through a famine. Nobody else was, but we were. But food showed up at the door. And we didn't tell anybody but our Heavenly Father. IRS sent us a check for over $700. When's the last time the IRS sent you a check without you asking for it? Just showed up. Oh, by the way, you paid too much money here. Yeah, they do that a lot. I think we got some kind of rebate for some insurance or some other thing that we had done or something. I forget it now, but we got several checks in the mail that we were not expecting. We were in a famine, but the Lord took care of us. Not that we're perfect, but we were seeking him best we could. We've got a couple more blessings I want to show you next week. I really want to make you hungry to have the blessings of God.